Thank you, Adam, for all those announcements and things that are going on. And this is a great day. Last week, I was in Florida. Don't get mad. But we were dedicating a new church there. Greg Ball, one of our former staff members that planted a church in Naples 7 years ago. And moved into a building in Naples. Let me tell you about property in Naples. It's expensive. And to get property there and build a church is very challenging because local municipalities don't want you to build churches because that takes revenue away from commercial buildings. It's very difficult. However, Greg and Bobby found an existing church, which already was zoned for a church. The only problem was it was on a sinkhole. Yeah, that's not a good deal. So when you have someone come up to you and go, hey, I got a church building I'd like for you to buy, but it's on a sinkhole, you probably want to walk the other way. However, Greg knew something that I'm going to share with you in just a moment. And he thought, wait a minute, the gracious hand of God's favor is on my life. There must be a reason for this. So the pastor met Greg and wanted him to have the church because it was going to cost a lot of money to fix it. And they were going to move out. Their congregation only had about 16 people left. So they were going to move out and they were going to sell the building. Well, it would have cost over $2 million, they bought for $1.2. But the only problem is the foundation sunk about 4 inches. There was cracks in the walls. And when you walked, you kind of like that, you know, because you were downhill. But Greg was undaunted by that and got a contractor together. And they said, yeah, we could fix this for about $100,000. So he said, you know, that's not much. I'm going to buy it. So what they ended up doing is drilling holes throughout the sanctuary and the foundation and pouring concrete in there to fill the cavity up underneath. And then the contractor lifted the entire foundation up and leveled the floor off, and they did it for around $100,000. And what everybody else was afraid of, they walked into, and now they possess. And last week, that church was packed. Wasn't one empty seat in it. 400 people in that auditorium Sunday. Amazing. To God be the glory, right? Yeah, and I got a chance to dedicate that building, and it was an amazing moment. Then I drove up to Orlando and spent a couple days at a conference there, and maybe sometime I'll tell you about that, but that was an incredible encounter with God as well. I was in church last Tuesday, 13 hours, and you guys complained for two. Come on. Yeah, it was a great time and learned a lot. So, hey, by the way, you know, the gracious hand of God's favor is on your life. Are you aware of that? Can you say that with me? The gracious hand of God's favor is on my life. Now, why is that important? Because when you know that you have the favor of God, that means you can do anything. And that means good things are coming to you, that you attract good things. You get up in the morning and good's going, we got to find this boy. I'm telling you, the gracious hand of God's favor is on my life. Because God's gracious hand of favor is on my life, I'm going to make a request. I want and need a 6-seat golf cart. And somebody in here is going to buy one for me. Thank you. Say, why do you need a golf cart? Because come this winter, we're going to drive it around this place, and every time they see somebody sitting in a car waiting for the cart, we'll pick you up and drive you right to the door. How many think that's a great idea? I do. All right. So, Father, I thank you because of the gracious hand of God's favor is upon my life. I'm going to get not a 6-seater, but an 8-seater. And if you want to donate it, we'll even write your name on the side of it. We'll put the Smithmobile. I mean, whatever you want to do. But we need to get this thing and get it before the bad weather. And so I'm looking forward to it. I say like that one preacher says, money cometh. I forget his name. I say golf cart cometh. You know, I'm going to believe God for it. All right, this is just a warning. This sermon is rated XXX. Oh my, X-rated sermon. Are you ready? Here it is. Extreme expectancy, expected, and I'm about to explain it to you. Because I'm real excited, all right? Look at somebody and say, I'm excited as well. Come on. Yeah, I'm excited as well. Psalm 102, verse 13. Psalm 102, verse 13. Come on, sing it, say it with me. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time... Come on now, how many believe that? Oh, hallelujah. The time to favor her has come. Yes, the set time. That's why you got to get up in the morning and declare, the gracious hand of God's favor is upon my life. Now, there's something about expectancy. A good friend of mine always says, it's the breeding ground of miracles. But I'm going to go a little bit further than that. I'm going to say that the expectancy is the test tube of creative miracles. It's also the birthing place of brand new experiences and releases of the kingdom of God. So when you come to the house of God, when you rise up in the morning, you've got to walk in extreme expectancy because the time for God's favor has come. Yes, it has come to me. You've got to no longer be satisfied with normal. I just want to serve notice on everybody. I'm no longer going to be normal. Not a normal pastor, not a normal father, not a normal friend, not a normal Christian. Because normalcy is passivity. And the times that we are in requires that we become favored of God to do what He has called us to do. Now I'm going to tell you why in just a moment, but when you were born again, you received what many people call the X factor. Now the X factor is that quality about someone in a show, of course, on television that identifies them as having something that you can't explain. They just got it. They just got it, you know? And the X factor is simply the fact that you've got it, that it makes you stand out. It's something that you can't explain. You can't write it down on paper. It's something that makes you overcome obstacles and stand during adversity. And it's that quality that just accomplishes dreams in your life. You simply attract good things. When you receive the X factor, or when you have the favor of God upon your life. Now, Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 8. Now, check this out. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. Anybody know what that was? Okay, he just didn't hand the cup to the king. That would have been a great job. But you had to drink first from the cup, then hand it to the king. Why was that? Okay, so there was poison in it. Now let me ask you a question. If there was poison in it, and you were the cupbearer, and you took a drink, what does that mean for you? You gone. And the king said, thank you very much. Next, give me another cupbearer. That means Nehemiah was expendable. He wasn't anything special. He was a cupbearer, but he was one that was easily replaced. But Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 8, actually, there's a part of that verse that we're missing. Do you have the second part of that? Yeah. Here's what Nehemiah said. He heard about the condition of Jerusalem, and it so grieved him. He began to understand the call upon his life with the fact that the king granted him everything he needed to accomplish the rebuilding of the walls. But it was according to the good hand of my God that was upon me. In other words, Nehemiah said, this isn't because I'm somebody big. I'm a cupbearer, because that ain't much. It's not because I have an education. It's not because I know the right people. It's not because I can quote a bunch of Bible verses. No, the gracious hand of God's favor is on my life. So when he went to the king, he had a mentality that he is the favored one. Psalm 102, verse 16. He had favor on him and he expected the king to respond to his request. This is a generation that is rising up in this time that understands normalcy isn't going to get the job done. passivity isn't going to get the job done. Let me just help you for just a second. Did you know the teachings of Islam people are intimidated by? When people see Muslims on the street, they cower. They almost are afraid to say anything because they've got to be what? Politically correct. We all serve the same God, right? That's what they say. Allah, their God, is the same God that we serve. Wrong. But understand something. Passivity in Christianity, normalcy in Christianity, Muslims or Islam has mocked Western Christianity because of its powerlessness. They're taught America's their inheritance. There's not a community you can't go to where you're not going to find a Muslim expression in the street. And they're not apologizing for it. Now, understand something, that the only way you're going to infiltrate that kind of aggression is not us against them. That's not why we're here. We don't hate anybody. We're not opposed to anyone. But there is a people who have extreme expectancy operating in their life that are flowing in the favor of God, that it doesn't matter what they ask for, God grants their requests. How many know that we've been called to go into all the world and preach the gospel? How many know that? Let me see your hand if you know that, all right? That includes, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me. What? To open up prison doors, to set captives free, to open up blind eyes, to see the miraculous provision and ability of God operating in us as a normal factor. See, once you discover that you possess the favor of God or the gracious hand of God's favor on your life, once you know this, it will take you where you ordinarily would never be able to go. It will give you the factor that you can't explain, can't define, can't identify. Now be careful. Don't look at me on the outside. Because if you look at me on the outside and judge me from the exterior, you won't ever judge me correctly. I may not look like much, but I'm favored of the Lord. And because I have the favor of God, I can do what ordinarily I cannot do, go where I ordinarily would never go, and the power of God is made real in my life. Say this with me. The gracious hand of God's favor is upon my life. See, that's what we need to begin to confess every day of our life. And we need to be reminded of that. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. And Peter was teaching the church about having to remind them about the things they had learned. He said, look, for this reason, I'll not be negligent to remind you. Say remind. To remind something means to mind it over again. And it's often what our case is that we forget who we are in Christ. We forget all that God has accomplished and His goal for this earth. How many know that Jesus has given us the nations as an inheritance? See, this earth does not belong to the devil. This earth does not belong to false religion. This earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Understand that when you were born again, you were given the X factor. You were given the favor of God, and that you and I can expect to walk in the miraculous ability of God. I'll tell you what's going to win Muslims or non-believers or atheists or whoever else to the Lord is not us against them, but the demonstrations of signs, wonders, and the power of God. I want you to know today that the old-fashioned gospel is still relevant. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, and Jesus delivers. Today, though, in most Pentecostal circles, or even charismatic circles, or even Word of Faith circles, is we have minimized the truth of the miraculous ability of God. That's why this supernatural school of ministry is so important. Because once you're born again, you've been drafted. God's favor's on your life. And you and I have been anointed to do the very same things that Jesus did when He walked on the earth. Now, look at this scripture. To remind ourselves of what we have known, so that the gracious hand of God's favor will begin to operate on us. Now, here's where most Christians are stuck. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And most people understand that. I want to be saved. I give my life to Christ. So we give our life to Jesus. And we believe in Jesus. Say, I believe in Jesus. Okay, that's verse 1. And most of us have been camping out in verse 1. I believe in Jesus. Verse 2, however, takes it to a completely different level. In verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Reminding. Being reminded. Being renewed of your mind that you may what? Prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If you look at verse 1, let me put it back up on the screen again. It says that we present ourselves so we believe in Jesus. So I say, I believe in Jesus. Verse 2, though, is not I believe in Jesus. I believe like Jesus. Say that with me. I believe like Jesus. The question is, how did Jesus believe? That's the question. How did Jesus believe? We have the mind of Christ. Therefore, we believe like Jesus believed. We believe that God's gracious hand of favor is upon our life. We believe that God loves us. God's not mad at us. God's not judging us. We believe that God is for us. And let me just say this. God doesn't use circumstances to teach you something about Him. I don't know where we got this doctrine at that, well, God's just trying to teach you something. Well, if that's the case, why do you give us the Bible? Now, I may go through a trial and learn how the Word worked in that trial and made it more real to me, but that thing did not teach me a thing about God. Understand something, that the Word of the living God has been given to you and me to create a system of belief that mirrors Jesus. So we believe like Jesus. So a renewed mind will never be intimidated. Let me just say that for a minute. Intimidated. You say, well, I don't know. Are we intimidated? Sure we are. We're intimidated about what people will think. We're intimidated about what they'll say. We're intimidated about what if it doesn't work. We're just intimidated. Intimidated is being timid. On the inside. Now, remember Acts chapter 3. Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray. But they weren't intimidated. When they came up to the temple, the gate beautiful, what did they find? A lame man. How long did a lame man been there? 10 minutes? Hour? A day? How many years? 38? It's been a long time. I don't know how many years, but it was a long time. How many people went before Peter and John to go into the temple through the gate beautiful entrance? And walked right by this man. I don't know how many did, but I would have to say at least 5. All right, maybe 10. All right, maybe 100. But why did they walk by him? Because they were intimidated by the lameness in his legs. They were intimidated by the cup in his hand asking for alms. Either they didn't want to give it because they were covetousness in their life, or maybe because they didn't have enough themselves and they were intimidated by lack, or I don't know what the reason was, but they walked by him to go in to pray. But they were intimidated by this man. Peter and John, though, came into the temple to pray, and they looked at him and they said, hey, the gracious hand of God's favor is upon my life. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus. Take up thy pallet and walk. Rise up and walk. And the man rose up, walked, began to leap and praise God all the way into the temple. Now it's amazing what will happen when we don't become timid to the things of God. Now some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't yet know this. You will as you age. When you get around people that are older, often the conversation is what doctor you've been to last. What kind of prescriptions you're on, how much they cost, how long you waited in the waiting room. Now, I don't know about you, but when the gracious hand of God's favor is on your life, why don't we just say, let's pray about that? Why don't we just say, let's just lay hands on you and believe that God will heal that, deliver that, save you from that? You see, we've got to remind ourselves that the gracious hand of God's favor is upon you. And stop being timid. What does 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 said? God has not given you a spirit of intimidation, but of power, love, and a sound mind, a mind like Jesus. Got to renew the mind. I got to think like Jesus thinks. I need to realize that he came to seek and save that which is lost. He was moved with compassion for those that were like people without a shepherd, sheep without a shepherd. Those that he mourned for and yearned for like little chicks without a hen to cover them and bring them in. He was saying, look, I came to save this world. So when you get up in the morning and you think like Jesus, the favor of God is not just for a parking space at Walmart. I mean, all we do is teach, well, I got the favor of God. Praise God. Look at me. I got right up front. Whoop, 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 whoop. So you got a close parking spot. That's not the favor of God. Let me tell you what the favor of God is. You parked way at the end and had to walk 100 feet to the door. And on the way there, you realize the gracious hand of God's favor is on you. And you go, Lord, give me a word for that lady right there. God, I'm going to pray for that one right there. God, I believe that that one's about ready to be saved. Excuse me, sir. God just told me that you've been struggling with sin. And he said, if you'll just call on his name right now, you can be saved. Would you like to pray with me? That's favor. See, the gracious hand of God's favor is upon you. And you don't have to be intimidated by sickness, by lack, by rejection, by anybody's attitude, by the opinions of other people. Because the gracious hand of God's favor is on my life. I can go into Jerusalem and say, hey, y'all, look up here. Look up here. Hey, hey, hey. How come these walls are in rubbles? Let's do this. They're like, we can't do that. We can't do that. Look at chapter 2 and verse 18 of Nehemiah. Nehemiah did not try to talk them into engaging the work of God by saying, well, I've got the king's letter, I've got his approval, I've got a will to do this, I'm talented, I have an engineering degree. I told them of the hand of my God, which had been a good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. In other words, we can do this because the favor of God is upon my life. And because I operate in the favor of God, the empowerment of God, the grace of God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. A people who are motivated to work the kingdom work are people that understand that the favor of God empowers you and is able to promote you, and you don't have to be intimidated by anything. Like Nehemiah, you must learn to make your requests known unto God and know that he's going to grant it, not because he likes you more than the other person, but because of the favor that is on your life. See, you got to learn how to brag on God a little bit. We need to start bragging on God. Now, I don't know about you, but the Islam, that's all they say. Allah's great. Ali Akbar. I don't know how many Christians go, Jesus is great. It's like, what's up, Christians? Jesus not great? How many times you meet a Christian and you go, Jesus is Lord, give me some. Like, really? Yeah, he's great. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He saved my soul. Hallelujah. I'm just glad to be here today. Woo! Brag on God a bit. See, when Nehemiah attempted to rally the people, he said, look, I gotta brag on God a little bit. And no matter what skepticism, what doubt, what fear comes in your life, when you begin to brag on God, all apprehension has to give way. When people or circumstances say, you can't do that, or that's not, you're not qualified to do that, or that's impossible. That'll never happen. You need to say to them, that may be true in your thinking, but you see, the gracious hand of God's favor is on my life. And because God favors me, He will grant all my requests. Because I pray according to His will. And He said that if I pray according to His will, I can ask whatever I want to do it. And I know that it's going to be done. You need to learn how to brag on God's favor. See, what should have took a year, 52 days. Why? Because He was favored. He was favored. See, I had to tell myself that again this morning, and it's a constant reminding ourselves. I had to tell myself again, the gracious hand of God's favor is on my life. I'm not going to be intimidated by an empty parking lot. I'm not going to be intimidated by an empty checkbook. I'm not going to be intimidated by what the doctor said. I'm not going to be intimidated by people's rejection or their snarls or their frowns or whatever. I'm not going to do that because the favor of God's hand is upon my life. I'm not going to be intimidated by that, but I'm going to believe that I'm blessed of the Lord. I'm blessed when I rise up. I'm blessed when I lie down because I know that God's favor is upon my life. Now go to Mark 11, verse 22 and 23. See, if you don't get God's bragging rights in your mouth, see, I believe that when you begin to brag about God's favor, favor comes and finds you. When you begin to declare favor, favor comes looking. So the Bible says that Jesus answered and said, have the faith of God. Really what He was saying is have the faith of God, not just have faith in God. If you understand the scripture, it says have the faith of God. What He's really saying is think like Jesus thinks. Think like Jesus thinks. Well, how do we know that? Because we can believe in Jesus in Romans 12, 1, but we need to believe like Jesus in verse 2. All right, here we go. For surely I say to you, whoever what? Says to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt his heart, but believes those things, whatever he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So I just want you to know that the gracious hand of God's favor is upon my life. Now why are you saying that? Because whatever man says, he has. I just wake up in the morning and said, thank you, Jesus, the gracious hand of God's favor is upon my life. Thank you, Lord. Why are you saying that? Because the gracious hand of God's favor is upon my life. Yeah, but don't you know they're not going to let you build that over there because they can't give you the permit? Oh, well, the gracious hand of God's favor is upon my life. But you just know what the doctor just said to you? Just came from the doctor. I heard what they said. Oh, well, that may be true, but the gracious hand of God's favor is upon my life. Why do you keep saying that? Because I know whatever I say, I'm going to have. And it attracts the favor. More favor comes when I declare I've got the favor. All right, all right, all right. Lift up your hands to heaven and say with me, the gracious hand of God's favor is upon my life. Now, what happens when somebody smiles at you? Okay, I want you to get the biggest cheesy smile you can get. And look at somebody and smile. Come on, smile. Look at somebody and smile. Look at somebody and smile. Come on. Yeah. Okay, what'd they do? What'd they do? They smile back. They smile back. Now, there's a reason why I'm telling you that. Because Israel declared in the psalmist, that I'm not going to have the scripture, maybe they have, they can put it up. But basically they said, we defeated our enemies because of the favor of God, and God smiled down upon us. God is smiling. That's God's face right there. Holy Spirit showed me that that's God's face. No, Holy Spirit didn't show me that. That's God's face. He's looking at you going, hey, hey. And some of us look back at God and go, it's not natural not to smile back. It's not natural. When God is smiling, God's not frowning at you. Why are you frowning? Well, because they won't let me. I'm this is being over here, and I can't get this done. And well, those things don't determine your smile. Smile back at God. Everybody with me right now, put a big smile on your face and look up to God and go, hey. Hey, God, thank you for smiling at me. Thank you, Lord. I'm smiling back. We need to learn to laugh at circumstances. The other day, Tina and I were in the car, and she was telling me about something happened or whatever, and I said, let's just laugh at that. She said, okay. I said, They really think that's going to happen. And she looked at me and I looked at her and I went, ha, 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 ha. That was kind of a manufactured laugh. Yeah, it was. But I just want to know the devil that God's smiling. I want him to know that God's smiling at me and I'm smiling back and you're not taking the smile off my face. You know, one of the biggest criticisms Joel Osteen gets? He smiles too much. Isn't that crazy? He's like, he was like, why are you always smiling? Because God's smiling at me and I'm just smiling back. See, understand something about the gracious hand of God's favor that is upon your life. See, you and I need to be able to smile back at Jesus in spite of adversity, in spite of trouble. Look at it this way. How am I going to get out of debt? The gracious hand of God's favor is upon my life. Hey, debt. What are you doing? I'm laughing at debt. How are you going to get your body well? I'm just smiling at sickness. Ooh. 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 Ah. Why? Because I've gone into the realm of extreme expectancy. Because I believe that the favor of God is upon my life. He said, well, how am I going to break this addiction? I'm going to take that pack of Marlboros. And I'm going to look at him and say, you coming down, sucker. And then I'm going to smile. I'm going to go, hey, you coming down. Say, what happened to Dad? Grace's hand of God's favor is on his life. And I think he's going crazy. You got to learn to smile at addiction. You got to learn to smile at threats. You need to learn to smile at every adversity and every challenge to the will of God that's in your life. And don't join the party. What party? The party of frowning and mourning and depression. I didn't get saved to get depressed. I didn't get saved to be worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. No. I got saved because the gracious hand of God's favor is on my life. And I believe that God's for me and not against me. And I need to remind myself of how good God is. You know, I may not look like much to some of y'all, but there's some stuff in me you can't see. You can't explain it. You can't identify it. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm telling you, I got the X factor inside of me. I got the favor of God. You can push me back. You could jump on top of me. You could dog me out. You could talk about me. But I'm going to rise right back to the top again because of the favor of God that is on my life. See, whenever you're in a difficult time, Psalm 41 says, the favor of God keeps my enemies from defeating me. The favor of God keeps my enemies from defeating me. So when I'm in a difficult time, I need to declare that God's favor. I need your favor, Lord, more than ever right now. And I thank you, Lord, I'm going to brag on you in this situation. Now, some people said, okay, that sounds good, but what about Job? You ever hear that? People say, yeah, healing's for today. What about Job? I'm like, okay, what about Job? Let's talk about Job. Nobody like Job in all the land. Favored of God. And all of a sudden, what happened? House blew up. Kids got killed. Money was gone. Lost everything. One servant after another. Job, I got news for you. Spare me. Lost everything. The devil goes back to God and says, look, if I take everything, he won't praise you. He kept praising him. The devil didn't realize he had the X factor. So he said, all right, if I make him sick, if I hurt him, God said, don't hurt my boy now. because I will put a hurt on you. Just don't kill him. Go ahead, whatever you want to do, but just don't kill him. I'm like, boy, God, that's a lot of confidence. You ever feel like God said, go ahead, but just don't kill him? I'm like, I don't want to be loved that much. You ever feel like that? You say, God, just don't kill him. So, chapter 10, verse 12, Job didn't curse God. He didn't want to die. He didn't backslide. Didn't leave the church. If somebody hurt their feelings, it hurt my feelings. I don't like the music. I don't like the preacher. I just don't think it's for me. It's too cold, too hot. You see, it's too hot in here. I'm hot. Anybody else hot in here? Yeah, I think we ought to leave and go find a cooler church. First service was so cold, all the ladies' toes were freezing. They're like, my toes are cold. I'm like, well, leave the church. Go find a warmer church. But here's Job. He's sitting in an ash heap, boils all over him, pot sheared scraping all the gunk off of him. Then all of his friends came. Ha, friends. And this is what Job says. You have granted me life and favor. And your care has preserved my spirit. What was he saying? He was saying, devil, you can't touch this. I've got something called the X factor. I've got something that is unexplainable, unseen, undefinable, not tangible. You can't grab hold of it. It's called the gracious hand of God's favor on my life. Now, I want you to know that after Job made that confession, chapter 11 came, 12 came, 13 came, 14 came, on and on and on and on. But 42 came. And chapter 42 says Job ended up with twice. Job ended up with double. Everybody say double.
Double.
Double than what he had before he went into the situation. See, you cannot judge a person by the way they look. You might walk by me and wag your head, think that I'm finished, that I'm not going to make it. But see, you can't judge me because I'm just in chapter 20. Hang around, baby, because chapter 42 is just a few more chapters down the road. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to come back that much stronger. Why? Because I know God preserves my spirit. Now, I don't know what chapter you're in this morning. Some of you are probably in the middle of chapter 20, and maybe 25, maybe 30, 32. But don't quit now. Don't go walking away now. What if you're in 41? What if you're in chapter 41? You say, well, I quit. It doesn't work. Forget all this supernatural stuff. Let me tell you something. 42 is the next chapter. Don't give up now. See, the only way we're going to win Islam, win Muslims to the Lord, win people that don't believe in Jesus is through demonstration, signs, and wonders. Do you know that revival across the world today, the sustained revival, by and large, is supported by praying for the sick? Argentina, Brazil, Hungary, I mean, just all over the world, revivals and the largest, fastest growing churches in America, by and large, are characterized by the fact that they believe in prayer for the sick. They believe in miracles. And people are coming because they're seeing the mighty hand of God demonstrated. That's why this supernatural school of ministry is so important, and everybody in here needs to go through it. Because the majority of Christians haven't even led one person to Christ. Like I said, we get together for our senior citizens' dinners, and all we talk about is how much we're paying for prescriptions. Come on. We get around people who are angry. They quit the church, and all they talk about is how bad the pastors are and how bad this is that, and I don't like this group, and I don't know why they did this to me. Look, the gracious hand of God's favor is upon my life. I realize something about the favor of God. It's the X factor. It's going to bring to me whatever I need, and God in the right time is going to bless me because I have walked into extreme expectancy. and I have left normalcy. I've left normal Christianity. That's the only way. I never thought I would design t-shirts. I'm designing t-shirts. I have a thought for a t-shirt with a cross that comes here and goes down the side, and then on the back comes there and goes the other side. And I'm going to wear it around as many people as I can, especially Muslim people, because they wear their little Berber things with the eye slits. And they're walking around like this, like this, they're walking around. And I'm like, and I'm looking at them and I'm saying, get me a shirt with a cross on it. Show you that Jesus is Lord. But before I got the shirt, every time I see one, I go, praise you, Jesus. You are the Lord of all. I thank you, Jesus. And I keep on walking. I swear I do. Come with me sometime. It's a lot of fun. They look at you like, what is this man doing? The favor of God is upon my life. So then I thought of another one. Free prayer in big block letters. Free prayer. And then underneath that in cursive. Anybody know what cursive is? Some of you do. Cursive says, just ask me. Right? Just like that lady at the Love Center whose baby had intestines on the outside. 3 weeks later, the intestines were back on the inside. Just ask me. Now on the back, I'm going to say free tattoo interpretations. You ought to come out with me sometime. It's lots of fun. We'll put them t-shirts on. We'll be walking around. Will you go with me? All right. And then we're going to do another t-shirt on the back. God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son. You know, Jesus saves, heals, and delivers on the front. Now, why do you want to do all that? I want to do that because passivity is over. I don't want to go any place at any time, anywhere, where I don't have extreme expectancy of God moving. Words of knowledge. Words of wisdom. Discerning of spirits. Some of us have never prayed for sick people. Because we don't even know how to pray. Or we've not been taught. Or we're intimidated by the sickness. But God moved upon my heart to have a healing school. Along with the supernatural school. I don't know how I'm going to do all these schools. But I'm going to teach in a number-part series on how to heal the sick. See, when somebody comes up to you and they go, can you pray for my neck? Man, I think I have a vertebrae problem right here on the right side. The first question you ask them is, how long have you had this? Well, I've had it for a long time, ever since the car accident. Tell me about that. Well, my dad was drunk. We were in the car. He got in an accident, killed my younger brother. And I said, have you forgiven your dad? Well, I didn't come up here for that. I came up here for my neck. No, 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 no. Have you forgiven your dad? We're going to deal with the forgiveness, and then we're going to heal that neck, because that neck is probably as a result of your unforgiveness towards your father. So we teach them how to bring healing to that person. We teach them how to bring them into wholeness of the spirit. And we're going to take teams. God's given me this vision. We're going to take teams around the world, and all we're going to do is signs and wonders missions groups. That's what we're going to do. We're going to get like 10, 12 of us, and we're going to go, okay, we're going to the Philippines. What are we going to do when we get there? Pray for the sick. We can do that here in the States as well. Why? Because the gracious hand of God's favor is where? On my life. Now, I'm almost done. God always steps in when you say, Father, I want to thank you, for I know that I have your favor. Like Job, you got to kick your faith into high gear. And sometimes we have to shout before the victory comes. You know, they were marching around Jericho 6 days, 7 days, seven times. God said, I'm going to tell you, I want you to shout. You know what we're used to doing in church? Well, we lost our shout. You can't get anybody to shout. It's like, let's shout. You know, we don't have a shout. Because we've learned now to try to be more palatable to people who don't understand us, who have the gracious hand of God's favor in our life. You may not understand me, but when you're around me a while, you're going to like me. Because everywhere I go, favor follows me. And if you're with me, favor hits me, it's going to hit you. So you got to get a mentality that says, you know what, I have the favor factor and I'm able to change circumstances. Now, I don't know about you, but I think we ought to do a little exercise here on the count of three. I just want you to give a shout to the Lord, okay? Ready? One, two, three, shout. Don't clap, don't clap, don't clap. No clapping allowed in this church. When you shout, do you know all heaven responds? Do you know that God will descend from the heavens with a shout? Your shout gets his attention. And we need to open up our mouths and begin to lift up our voice unto the Lord. And thank God for the victory before it even comes. Let me share a little story with you out of the Red Sea. There's a fish in the Red Sea called the Moses sole. Anybody ever heard of it? It's a medium-sized fish, and it's a good dinner for sharks. They love eating fish that size. But as researchers were watching, they noticed that the sharks would never eat the Moses sole, but they would eat the other fish the same size. So they did deeper research, and here's what they found. Every time the predator came to the Moses sole fish, and the fish sensed danger, it would excrete a poison toxin out of its gills. And the shark would literally get frozen jaws. So think about this. Here comes the jaw. Do, 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 do. Ah, I'm in danger. The favor of God is on me. Something like that, you know. And the jaw's like, and they can't bite down. And the fish, after it's excreted this toxin, the fish, until it swims away from the Moses sole, its jaw remains froze. So when it turns away and goes the other direction, it's like, I don't know what just hit me, but man, I couldn't bite down. I couldn't either. That's what it's like to have the favor of God on your life. When the enemy comes after you and you discreet the favor of God out of your mouth, the enemy's like, nyah! And it gets lockjawed. Some of the researchers actually saw fish inside the mouth of sharks that are almost down, and the fish are inside, and the jaws are locked, and the little Moses soulfish is inside going, help me, help me, get me out of here. Because the jaw had come down too far, and the jaw was frozen, and until the fish, the Moses soul toxin was eliminated, the jaw couldn't close down, couldn't open up, and so when it was finally gone, the fish was able to, and then Moses' soul swam right away. Now God gave that fish a poisonous toxin to keep it safe from their enemies. Now you ask this question, why don't you like the other fish? They get eaten. Why'd you do that for the Moses soul fish? You see, God gave you and me a favor toxin. And I don't know about unbelievers out there or anybody else around you, but you've got it. And when you have it, all you have to do is proclaim it. And God's favor will come to your life. I just declare over you right now, you're the favored of God. I just declare right now over your family and over your children that you are going to begin manifesting a reminded thought process. I just confess over you right now that no matter what chapter you're in your life, if you continue to declare the gracious hand of God's favor is upon your life, you're going to get to chapter 42. Because the book hasn't been finished yet. And God has plans for you. He said in Jeremiah 29:11, for your good, for your welfare, for your promotion, not for your demise, not for your hurt, not for your destruction. And today we're just believing God for every person over this in this congregation to see the favor of God come to their life. Now, how many this morning would say, you know, Pastor, I want to operate in healing anointing more than I ever have before. Would you want to do that? I believe that to operate in the healing anointing, there's some practical steps, but it's to believe that God wants to heal. Now, I know the objections to that and the intimidation of that is what happens when people don't get healed. And I've been through that myself lots of times. But I know what God's word said. So I'm going to confess God's word, and I'm going to believe God's favor. I'm going to leave it up to God. I'm going to believe it up to God. Even in the book of Timothy, Paul, Timothy, they prayed for their buddy, I forget his name, and they left him in Miletus sick. Now, if you want anybody to pray for you, you'd want Paul to pray for you. But he was left in Miletus sick. Why was he left there sick? I don't know. But I do know this, that when we declare the favor of God upon our life, it is to demonstrate to a generation the reality of God's power. That's the only thing that is going to stay this intrusion. Did you know that Islam has bought major media markets in America? Are you aware of that? NBC, CNN. You know why they're soft on Islam and hard on Christians? Because the Muslim Brotherhood owns it. Did you know that a lot of the books that your children will learn from in your school this year are owned by Muslim Brotherhood? They own the publishers, and they're revising history. Did you know that the new director of Homeland Security is Islam? No. Homeland Security has just been appointed, and he is tied to the Muslim Brotherhood. Well, that's all right. He's not. He's a nice guy. He might be a nice guy, but he has some incorrect teachings. The only thing that's going to push back darkness is the favor of God. And it's not us against them. It's us with Jesus. That's why you and I have got to stop being passive. September 6th, the school starts. August 26th, you've got to have your applications in. Why do I want you to go to the school? Because I want to show you that signs, wonders, supernatural things can happen in your life. It's a simple thing. We've got to begin to do it. We've got to begin to disperse people in teams. We need to activate teams throughout the week. We need to purposely go to restaurants, go to grocery stores, go to football games, and manifest the favor of God, the power of God. I'm telling you, church, because most Muslims that I've talked to said Christians are weak, passive, they don't pray, they don't worship. And that's why on purpose, I sit where I know the most of them are going to be to do my devotions when I can. And I sit there and I have my earbobs in and I have my hands raised. I'm praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. As they walk by. Because I want them to know there are some Christians who are not afraid to pray in a public place. And I want you to do that too. It's a whole different ballgame now. This isn't Christianity like the Cleavers. Go to church on Sunday and everybody loves Jesus and everybody acknowledges God. Right now we have to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ, the power of God. And it's going to separate. It's going to cause a separation in the church because some believe you don't have to do that. And you don't have to. You could believe in Jesus and go to heaven. But I want to believe like him. If you start believing like him, you are going to be persecuted. But that's all right. It's okay. It's no big deal, right? It's no big deal. It's okay. So let me just pray for those of you that would want to receive that healing anointing and move into that direction in your life even more. Just kind of present your hands before the Lord. Father, I just thank you right now, Lord, that every person whose hands are outstretched, Father, that they're anointed of God and they are going to be moving into the signs and wonders, healings. And not because they haven't had it before. They've had it, but they have just not been reminded they have it. And I pray now, God, that they would be reminded of the gracious hand of the favor of God upon their life, that anytime any situation comes up, their first response is, let's just pray about that. Let's just believe God about that. Let's just stand in agreement about that. Let's just declare God's word over that. Let's just believe that God's mercy is going to interrupt the situation. Let's, Father, just give them a remind, and that their hands would be used according to the word of God that said they shall lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. God, I pray for an entire church that would move in the supernatural, naturally, that we would no longer be passive, but that we would rise up and become the church, that we would take Northeastern Ohio into a whole different level, because we're like an army of love, an army, God, that loves people and loves God with all our heart, soul, might, and strength, in Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed, let me ask this question. If you were to die today, I certainly wouldn't want that to happen, because I don't like doing funerals. Even for Christians, it's just too sad. But if you're here today and you're not born again and you were to die, tell me, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Are you even sure? Recently it was said about Robin Williams after he took his own life. He said, surely there must be some kind of afterlife. I don't know what it is, but I hope I get there. Maybe you're there today and you're confused and you're wondering about tomorrow, should you die. Well, the Bible says these things were written that you may know that you could have eternal life. That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ will save you, you can be saved today. You can walk in a glorious relationship with the living God, because he loves you and he's got a plan for your life. And the gracious hand of God's favor will be upon you, just like upon me or anybody else. You don't have to be qualified. You can just be a cupbearer. You can be indispensable to others, but dispensable to others, but indispensable to God. Today, that if you'll say yes to God, no to this world, say yes to God's love and say no to this world, you can be saved. Nobody looking around. On the count of three, if you want that prayer, I want you to raise your hand. Because this is your moment. This is your time. That's why God brought you here today. Are you ready? One, two, three. That's you. Just hold it up high enough for me to see it all over this congregation. Thank you. Anyone else? I can see in the back there. Thank you, brother. And over there, thank you. Anybody else? Once you put it up, you can put it down. About 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hands over here. Thank you. Anybody else? Christians are praying all over this room for you, because they know that this is a very, very important moment with you and God. It's not about us. It's about you and God. God has a plan for you. He loved you. He knew you before you were informed in your mother's womb. Think about that. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made in the image of God. See, that's why the enemy, look up at me for a minute. That's why the enemy could do all that stuff to Job. And Job said, no, wait a minute. The favor of God is upon me, and he will preserve me in my spirit. He knew that you can't touch my spirit. You may put sickness on my body. You may take my money away. You may make my house to fall down. But you can't touch me, because I've got the favor of God. And he knew eventually he would rise to the top. Just like Joseph, when he was betrayed by his brothers, he came out of the pit. When he went into the palace, he was betrayed and went into prison, but he came up to the top. And God elevated him second in command of the greatest nation on the earth. Because you cannot keep somebody down that's favored. You may have been rejected most of your life. You may have felt like you're on the outside looking in. You may have felt as though that people have wronged you. And more than likely, that's the case for almost every one of us in here. But I'm telling you today, if you'll give your life to Christ, Christ will redeem that. He'll turn that around, and you can begin living a life with the favor of God upon you. But you have to be reminded of who you really are in him. So one more time, last time, if you already raised your hand, you don't have to do it again. But bow your heads with me. And if you're here today and you say, hey, preacher, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I didn't raise my hand the first time, but now I know that I need to do this. I need the love of God in my life. I want to serve God the rest of my days. Pray for me. And if that's you, just hold your hand up high enough for me to see it. And then you can put it down. Thank you there in the back. God bless you. I'm glad I asked again. Anybody else? Quickly. I have to end the service. Anybody else? Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand. Altar ministers are going to come and line across the front. You say, well, why do I have to go to the front? There's a step of faith. There's an altar. This is a place of God's meeting. And we want to pray with you. We want to believe with you. And we want to share with you what it is that God wants to do in your life. So everybody stand up. And if you will, if you raise your hand, would you do me a favor? Would you come from where you're standing and come to the front and pray with one of these? Ladies, would you find a lady? Guys, would you find another man and just say, look, I need that prayer. I want you to pray for me. I need Jesus in my life. Come on. All the way in the back, side, over here, back there. Let's believe God for it. Amen? Amen. 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 Go ahead and sing that song. That'd be awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Healing is here. Healing is here.
Lift that song up. Come on.
Healing is here.
Oh, come on. Healing is here.
Healing is here. It's here, it's here. Healing is here. I believe it. I believe it. I reach my to the heavens, I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. I reach my hands to the heavenlies. I reach my hands to
you're here this morning and you need physical healing, let us pray for you. And if you'll come and just let one of these lay hands on you and pray for you, and we believe God will heal you. That's what we believe. So we want you to come if you need physical healing in your body right now. Maybe the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. We're praying for that today as well. Maybe today, just a word from the Lord. You need direction. You need wisdom. We just pray for a prophetic utterance, a word of knowledge to be given to you, whatever that you might need this morning. God is able to do that. So we're going to sing that one more time. I believe healing is here. And then we're going to say, live right, love everybody, pray hard. And know that Wednesday night with the guys and the ladies is going to be awesome. So don't miss that. And sign up for the school today. Get involved in the school. We start classes September 6th. We're looking forward to seeing a whole army of revivalists in this last hour. But God is going to do some miraculous things here. So come if you need healing. Come if you need ministry. Sing it one more time, Holly. Let's worship the Lord. God bless you. Love you. There's nothing you could do about it.